భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 7 జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన యోగ. సో వి సా ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ ది శ్లోకా నంబర్ 15, చతుర్విధా భజంతే మాం జనాసుకృతినోర్జున ఆర్తో జిజ్ఞాసుకు అర్థార్థి జ్ఞానీ చ భరతర్షభ, వేర్ కృష్ణ ఎన్యూమరేటెడ్ 4 డిఫరెంట్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ భక్తాస్, ఆర్థభక్త, అర్థార్థి భక్త, జిజ్ఞాసు భక్త అండ్ జ్ఞాని భక్త. అండ్ వి సెడ్ దట్ వి ఆల్ వర్ ఆర్థభక్తాస్ అట్ సమ్ టైమ్, బట్ వన్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి పర్మనెంట్లీ ఆర్థభక్తాస్. వీ కెన్ బి అర్థార్థి భక్తాస్ ఆల్సో ఫార్ సమ్ టైమ్, బట్ వన్ షుడ్ నెవర్ బి ఎ పర్మనెంట్ అర్థార్థి భక్త ఆల్సో. Sooner or later, we should become a Jignyasu Bhakta, and then I should hope to become or strive to become a Jnani Bhakta also. And not only that, liberation is only for the fourth type of Bhakta, namely the Jnani Bhakta. Other three are in samsara only, even though they are also Bhaktas. They will be out of samsara only when they reach the fourth stage of bhakti known as jnana bhakti. And having enumerated these four types of bhaktas, Krishna now will glorify the fourth type of bhakta, the jnani bhakta, superiority over the other three bhaktas, and that is going to be highlighted in the next shlokas we are going to read today. Shloka number 16. తేషాం జ్ఞానీ నిత్యయుక్తః ఏక భక్తిర్విశిష్యతే ప్రియో హి జ్ఞానినోత్యర్థం అహం సచ మమ ప్రియః. దిస్ ఈస్ ది 16th శ్లోక ఆఫ్ చాప్టర్ 7. యాక్చువల్లీ 17, 18 అండ్ 19 శ్లోకాస్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో ద గ్లోరిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది జ్ఞాని భక్త యాస్ ది గ్రేటెస్ట్ అమంగ్ ది భక్తాస్. Here in this shloka, Krishna very clearly says, Tesham jnani visishyate. Tesham. Tesham means chaturvidanam bhaktanam madhye. Among the four types of bhaktas, which he said in the previous shloka, the jnani bhakta is superior to all other bhaktas. Jnani visishyate. He is superior to all of them. What is the reason? Why should Krishna say this? He gives the reason himself, because he has eka bhaktihi. He is eka bhaktihi he has, because his devotion to the Lord is undivided. Whereas the others are generally aneka bhaktaha only. They are not eka bhaktaha, they are aneka bhaktaha. Actually, we said in the introduction itself, when I worship the Lord for the sake of money, Lord is a means and money is the end. If I want to gain wealth, I worship the Lord. What is the end? Wealth is the end. And we think God is the one who can make me get that. So God becomes the means. That means my love is divided between Lord and money. And even in this division also, Lord being the means and money being the end, my love for money is certainly more than my love for the Lord. Because always, the end is more valued than the means, because the very value of means is because of the end itself. So I love Lord because he helps me out. It is a conditional love. If he doesn't help me out, I won't love him. So a love for the sake of other things, it is a divided love only. And not only that, even there are no other desires. When I say I love the Lord so that I will be happy, here also, there is a division of love between the Lord and myself. And this is the second division. Now, between the Lord and myself, whom I love the most? We will not express these things outside, but these are all well known to everyone. When there is a choice between the Lord and myself, I will certainly choose myself only, because my very love to the Lord is because I am happy out of it. ఆత్మనస్తు కామాయ సర్వం ప్రియం భవతి. ఎవరిబడి లూసెస్ లవ్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఓన్లీ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ వాట్? ఇట్ బ్రింగ్స్ దమ్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఆర్ ఇట్ బ్రింగ్స్ దమ్ శాంతి. ఇట్ ఈస్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ సెల్ఫ్ లవ్ ఐ లవ్ ద లార్డ్. It is a conditional love. But why I love myself? There is no condition at all. It is unconditional love. So in all people, the love is divided. Actually, how? The love of the end, that is money or children or health, etc. That is one love, love for the end. And the second one is the love for themselves. And thirdly, the love for the Lord. So the love is divided. So when I go to, for example, Tirupati or any big place like that, for the sake of my son or daughter to get married, my love is divided among the three. The child whose welfare I pray for, that's number one. Then myself, why should the child be well? Why should I think child should be well? So that it will give me also peace of mind. I will be happy. Child also is getting well, that is true. But I will be happy because of that. And again, I go to Tirupati because Balaji is supposed to give me that benefit. So to love him, I go there. So that he can give me the benefit. Of these three, the highest love is for myself. Next, my child. And then only Balaji comes in most instances. So between me and my child again, I will become primary at some point. Because the moment, for example, the son or daughter gets married to somebody else whom I have not fixed, then I tell him or her, be of your own. What is our glory, our gotra, our forefathers, and now you are getting married, something like that. So one is even willing to renounce the son or daughter. So what remains in all the cases is Atmanastu Kamaya. So remember, all others are Dvaita Bhaktas only. So their bhakti is divided between the God, themselves and the world. Whereas a jnani does not have any other goal at all. He does not want health, he does not want wealth, he does not want any of those things. He does not worship the Lord for any sake. Then can we say jnani's bhakti also is divided between himself and the Lord? Even that division is not there because jnani does not have a division between himself and the Lord. That is the way he is able to love 100% the Lord without retaining anything for himself. He is able to love 100% himself because Lord and himself are one and the same. So in the vision of a jnani, the Lord and himself are not two separate entities at all. It is pure Advaita Bhakti. There is no world, no God, no Jiva. That division is not there for him. So Jiva, Jagat, Ishwaraha, that Veda, that is nasty. It is not there. There is no question of division at all. So Eka Bhaktihi is undivided devotion. That he says actually in the second line, Priyohi jnaninaha atyartham. For a jnani, I am extremely dear. Atyartham. 100% dear. Because he does not have to choose between himself and me. There is no such conflict at all for a jnani. So atyartham actually is superlative. The dearest priyam. He does not stand separate from me at all. I am 100% loved. And also for a jnani, the Lord is extremely dear. And for the Lord also, the jnani is extremely dear. So, sacha mama priyaha. Lord also loves himself 100%. And the jnani also becomes one with him. So, I love jnani also 100%. So, our love is without any division between the jnani and the Lord because we have become one. The jnani and the Lord have become one. Whereas all other bhaktas retain their individuality. They stand isolated from the Lord. So our love also gets divided because they stand isolated from the Lord. That's what Krishna says. Tesham jnani nitya yuktaha eka bhaktir visishyate. Jnani alone is eka bhaktaha. Is nitya yuktaha. Nitya yuktaha means ever established in bhakti. It is not going to fluctuate at all as in the case of a Dvaita Bhakta. Why the fluctuation comes? In the case of Advaita Bhakta, the mind goes from one object to the other. For some time I think of the Lord. And suddenly I remember for what purpose I am thinking. Oh, money is needed, wealth is needed, position is needed, or someone is sick. Suddenly I think of the wife or son or somebody else who may require some assistance or something, or I think of myself. So when duality is there, love also travels from Lord to the world and myself. So when I am in the temple, all bhakti. When I am in the class, all bhakti, no problem. But the moment I come away, many times it is very common in India, the moment you come out of the temple, you may be very shocked to see or surprised to see that your slippers, if it is a brand new slippers, mostly it will be gone. It won't be there. Right at the moment, all bhakti is forgotten. Now it becomes the bhakti of the sandals or slipper only. But the jnani is nitya bhaktaha. He is not like that. So he is nitya yuktaha. Ever established in me alone. He has no second thing to think of. Then does it mean that the jnani does not see the world at all? He does not see a second thing means does not see the world at all. Transact with the world. He has to transact with the world. Day-to-day transactions are there. He has to still pay the mortgage. All those has to be done. For this, the answer has been already given in the 6th chapter where Krishna said what? Yomam pashyati sarvatram sarvancha mayi pashyati. Tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. The jnani sees the world. But seeing the world, he does not miss the Lord. Most important. He sees the world all right, but he does not miss the Lord because the Lord is seen by him as the very adhishtanam, the very support of the entire world that he sees. So just as by seeing the wave, you cannot miss the water, seeing the ornament, you cannot miss the gold. So the jnani is ever established in me. The Lord Krishna says, jnani is ever established in me, the only reality behind all the contents of the world. So why we need to emphasize this? Because when we say that the jnani is permanently established in me, that does not mean he permanently sits in some nirvikalpaka samadhi or something. He's not sitting in any of those. On the other hand, jnani happily transacts with the world. Because he has got what vision? Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shunichaivam Swapakecham Panditaha Samadarshinaha. So he doesn't see any division. Whether it is a very learned Brahmana, whether it is a cow, whether it is an elephant, whether it is a dog or the dog eater. He being a Pandita, he does not look at the differences in their Nama Rupa or Karma. He looks at only the Chaitanyam behind all of them. The ultimate support behind all of them. Therefore, to see the Lord, he need not have to close the eyes and sit in any Dhyanam or any Samadhi. He does not see anything other than the Lord. Because behind all the Nama Rupas and Karmas, it is the Lord only that is. So, Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihi, Brahma Agnav, Brahmanahutam, Brahma Ivatena Gandavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhinam, he knows that. Shloka 18.
Udhara sarvaye vaite, jnani tvamaiva mematam, astita sahi yuktatma, mamevanuttamam gatim.
So in the previous shloka, shloka 17, the Lord said, that the jnani is the superior most bhakta because he is dearest to me. Now Krishna gives another reason for the superiority of the jnani bhakta. And what is the reason? He says that jnani bhakta alone attains me the highest goal of liberation. He only attains moksha. And so he is superior. All other three bhaktas, they do not attain moksha. They do not attain liberation. They will get some worldly benefit. Because they are bhaktas, they will get some worldly benefits. After death, maybe they can go to a lot of punya lokas. It's all possible. They will get out of one danger, maybe to fall into another danger. Because it's samsara. Only it is a temporary solution for them. So, artha bhaktas and artharthi bhaktas, they only have temporary fixes. Jignasu Bhakta has a chance to get liberation if he promotes himself to the Jnani Bhakta status. So, only Bhakta getting liberated is Jnani Bhakta alone. That is what Krishna says here. Sarva eva eta udharaha. No doubt, all the four Bhaktas are great. They are virtuous, noble people, respectable. That's all good. Because they are all devotees of the Lord. But all these are superior to whom? to those who do not have belief in God, compared to an atheist, they are superior. Because they still believe in the God, in the scriptures, all that thing, punarjanma, all those things are there. That is why we say, compared to no bhakti, going to temple for at least worldly benefit is better. At least he believes in God, goes to the temple. The Lord will say later, actually, it does not matter. Even if a person worships the Lord with worldly ends in view, the sakama bhakti, that is fine. Sooner or later, he will go to the next stage of artharthi bhakta stage. And before long, he will certainly come to jignyasu bhakti stage also. So even though it is a lower bhakti compared to jnani bhakti, since it will take to higher bhakti, it is also allowed. Lord says, they are also dear to me. That is why almost in every puja, they will talk about some worldly benefit. They will talk about palashruti, worldly benefits again. Very prevalent actually in karmakanda. After every karma, they will say, these are the benefits you will get. Because at least in that pretext that I am going to gain something, one will worship the Lord. The condemnation comes only when a person leads the whole life for worldly benefit alone. At least someday he has to wake up. I have become a human being. I have been born as a human being. Manushyatvam, mumukshutvam, mahapurusha samshrayaham. All these three things are considered to be durlabham. Very difficult to get. So having got this manushya janma, the name of a human being, I should at least sometime try to justify that name of a human being for whom the only goal is to get moksha. That is opportunity available only for a human being, not available for animals and all that, because those janmas are essentially to exhaust the prarabdha only. Only through a human janma, one can get moksha. So that thought should come at least at some point in time. So the first two bhaktas, they are all only sakama bhaktas. Jignyasu bhakti is nishkama bhakti. O Lord, I want you only. The knowledge of your true nature only I want. That is what the third stage of bhakti, the jignyasu bhakti, that leads to. So even lower bhaktis are superior to no bhakti, and they are only inferior to higher bhakti, but not totally inferior. So Krishna consoles him, sarve yete udaraha. All bhaktas are noble, sarve yete udaraha. They are all noble only. But jnani tu atmaiva mematam. Whereas jnani is myself alone, in my opinion, mematam. In my opinion, jnani tu atmaiva. Jnani is myself. I cannot call him even my bhakta, because it will become a division then. Lord is separate, my bhakta is separate. No, he is not a devotee. He is myself. He is none other than myself. Why he is superior is, actually that is said actually in the second line, sahi yuktatma mamyeva astitaha. That disciplined person, yuktatma, that integrated person, he has attained me. Mameva astitaha, yuktatma. Here atma means mind, antakaranam. It's not Sachidananda atma, Brahman. It is antakaranam, the mind. So yuktatma means the one who is disciplined, who is an integrated person. Yuktaha atma antakaranam yasyashaha yuktatma. For that jnani, who has got the integrated personality, integrated mind, has attained me, myself. Who is such an integrated person? Who thinks noble things? Who is able to speak exactly what he thinks, and who is able to do what he really speaks. So there is absolute harmony in thought, in word and deed. Only such a person is considered a yukta purushaha, because he has no division of anything, any of these things at all. He thinks only noble things, speaks only those noble words, and also does only noble acts. Such a person, he is yuktatma. For that jnani, who has got the integrated mind, he has attained me, myself. Whereas all other people, they have attained a lot of worldly things through me, using me as means. They all have gained a lot of worldly things. That is the difference between them and the jnani bhakta. Compared to the other three bhaktas and jnani bhakta, that is the essential difference. So the others are devotees, but still they are in samsara, because through bhakti, they always ask for what? Only perishable goals only. They don't ask for any permanent goal. That is what Dhruva actually did. What he did? When he performed the tapas, the Lord himself appeared in front and he gave him all wonderful positions. He says, you can go back, rule the kingdom for so many years, get married, all those nice things he gave. Then Dhruva was very happy. He goes to kingdom and he rules for a long time. So a lot of problems came as a ruler. Then alone he realized that he made a mistake. No doubt I did tapas. The Lord himself appeared. I got lot of boons, but still I am a samsari only. Because I have asked for only worldly benefits. Therefore, even after Ishwara Darshanam, even if the Lord Ishwara himself comes in front of us, Dhruva did not get asked for moksha. He didn't get moksha. So recognizing this problem, he renounces everything. And only second time, he takes to Vedanta Vicharam and goes to moksha. So even if the Lord were to appear in our front and ask us whether you want moksha, one should not even think for a second. Moksha is what one wants. Generally, what we will do, even if he comes and asks, the plane is ready, let us all get into the Pushpakam and we can go to moksha. We will immediately ask Lord, that first we may ask him, show your identity. Or even if he proves his identity, we will ask him, can you give me one day or at least 1 hour? I have to sign my will. The moment I do it, we can leave. That is what generally people will do. Even if the Lord appears in front, unless we have that craving desire, mumukshutvam, unless we don't have that tivra ikcha, it won't come to our mind. So even Ishwara Darshanam does not solve the problem, because even seeing the Lord, we can ask for various worldly ends only. In fact, all the Rakshasas, they all got Ishwara Darshanam. Whether it is Ravana, whether it is Bhasmasura, all these people got Ishwara Darshanam. They all asked for boons and became more criminal than before. By asking a lot of boons directly from the Lord, they became more criminals. That means even Ishwara Darshanam does not make it, because I can use bhakti for worldly ends. Only a jnani keeps the Lord, the end in itself, which is the highest goal. And so he becomes an asamsari. Not a samsari, asamsari. So only jnani attains me. And what type of me? Krishna gives a very, very beautiful adjective here. Anuttamam gatim. The highest goal of life. Gati means goal. Anuttamam gatim. Anuttamam. That for which there is no superior at all. There is no uttamam. More than that, which is unsurpassed. Such a goal the jnani alone attains. So the fourth bhakti alone is liberating bhakti. That is the bhakti that will lead one to moksha. All the other three bhaktis are not going to liberate a person. They will still be in samsara only. And because of punya karmas and all, they may get some better life. But it will not liberate them from this cycle of birth and death. Shloka 19. Bahunam janmanamante jnanavanmam prapadyate Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabaha. And in this shloka also, the glorification of the jnani is mentioned. Here the idea is what? That even though the jnana bhakta is the highest, a person has to come to it only through gradual stages. It cannot be an overnight transformation. It is not a sudden phenomenon. Because if I should become a jignasu bhakta or a nishkama bhakta itself, initially what should I do? I should get over all my ragadveshas, which is the biggest hurdle for anybody. So because of our ragadvesha, we remain in artha bhakti and artharthi bhakti only. So to cross over the first two bhaktis and come to the third one, the jignasu bhakti, we require freedom from what? Ragadveshas, kamakrodhas, all of them. Which is the toughest job in any sadhana. To get rid of ragadvesha and kamakrodha, a very difficult job. So, kamokarishi in namo namaha, kamokarishit manurakarishit namo namaha. Every year, on the Shravani Purnima day, on the day when we do the Avaniya Vittam, the threading thing again, every year ritual, Shravani Purnima. Before that, we recite this mantra. We say, kama was the problem, manu, anger is the problem. So we keep on repeating it every year after year. We never get out of that at all. So the initial sadhanas are only to remove ragadvesha alone. Karmakanda is for converting the first two bhaktis to the third bhakti. So one can become a karma yogi. So all pujas, homas, etc. they do for artha and arthaarthi bhakti only. So they come under what? Karma. Regular karma. Whereas the third bhakti comes under karma yoga. I want to worship the Lord not as an artha bhakta or arthaarthi bhakta, but as a jignyasu bhakta. So when one comes to that stage, he becomes a karma yogi already. I want only purification of mind. So I have to do lot of karma yoga to remove raga dveshas and ask for what? Chitta shuddhi and jnana. I want purity of mind. I want to get jnanam, which takes a very long time because raga dvesha have been gathered over millions of janmas. Every moment we are gathering, raga dveshas are all being added every moment of our life. Actually, the most informed man is the one who has the most precise R&D. More material knowledge, more R&D. R&D means raga and dvesha. Improvements of material knowledge lead to more raga dvesha only. And so Krishna says, bahunam janmanamante. Only at the end of many janmas, bahunam janmanamante. Jnanavan, a person becomes a jnani bhakta because between the third and the fourth stage, Jignyasu Bhakta and Jnani Bhakta stages, lot of obstacles may come. Even after becoming a Jignyasu Bhakta, he may have lot of obstacles. Guru may not be available to give Jnanopadesham, or he may not teach properly, or there may be some other issue. So there is always a lot of gap between the first two bhakti and the third bhakti, and to come to Nishkama Bhakti itself is very difficult. To do bhakti without having anything else in mind. Nishkama bhakti. And even after becoming Jignyasu Bhakta, to get jnanam, he needs a teacher. He must be able to do shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam properly, which is the route for the third to the fourth stage. It's a jnana yoga, the path of jnana yoga. So Jignyasu means the one who desires knowledge, and jnani is one who has got knowledge. That's the difference. Jignyasu means the one who desires knowledge. And jnani is the one who has got knowledge. And how do the desirer of knowledge becomes knowledgeable? How does the desirer of knowledge becomes knowledgeable? For example, a desirer of physics knowledge, how will he become a physicist? He has to go to physics class. Simple. He has to go to physics class and learn and study that. Similarly, Vedanta Jignyasu becomes a jnani only by Vedanta Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. That is the only way. There is no other shortcut. This also is as important. It's a very important point that we should remember. Because there is always some confusion among people. If one goes on practicing Nishkama Bhakti for a long time, one day knowledge will just come. No. It won't come just like that. Nishkama Bhakti or Jignyasu Bhakti does not automatically give knowledge. Jignyasu Bhakta has to go to a guru. By being a Jignyasu Bhakta, he only has changed his attitude. That's all he has done. He is a good karma yogi by changing an attitude from a mere karmi. That's all he did. But still he has to go to the guru. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnanina tattvadarshinaha. So the Jignyasu Bhakta must go through Vedanta Vichara. He has to go to a guru to become a jnani bhakta. So first two bhaktis, that is artha bhakti and arthaarthi bhakti, to the third bhakti, namely Jignyasu Bhakti, that is the path of karma yoga. And from the third to the fourth bhakti, namely Jignyasu Bhakti to Jnani Bhakti, that is Jnana Yoga, Vedanta, Vichara, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, under a guru. Not by just a book from somewhere and all, one can do it reference, but one has to learn from a guru. And there is another thing also, when Krishna says Jignyasu Bhakti or Nishkama Bhakti, it is only a new language. It is not anything new, but it is the same as Sadhanam, Chatushtaya Sampatti. And from this, through Vedanta Vichara, one should go to Jnani Bhakti. Actually, for those who attended the Tattvabodha lectures, they would know what is Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, Vivekam, Vairagya, Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti, Mumukshutvam. All these are called Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti. By going through that, one becomes a Karma Yogi. and through Vedanta Vichara, one should become a Jnani Bhakta. So which will happen only when Bahunam Janmanamante, at the end of many Janmas. It won't just happen in one Janma. At the end of many Janmas, Jnanavan, a person becomes Jnanavan Bhavati. That is the fourth stage Bhakti. So having reached the fourth stage, then what happens? Mam Prapadyate. These are, thereafterwards, no more travel. He attains me. So Jnanavan Bhavati Mam Prapadyate Cha. Because a Jnani alone attains me. And how does he attain me? Vasudevaha Sarvam Iti. We have to supply with the knowledge that Vasudeva is everything. That is the knowledge he gains. Vasudevaha refers to what? Aparaprakriti or Paraprakriti. We have to remember all that thing. Because in Bhagavad Gita, this is very, very tricky. When Krishna says certain words, we should understand those words properly. Does it refer to Aparaprakriti or Paraprakriti? We have to remember, it should be Paraprakriti alone. This Nirgunam Brahma, Paraprakriti is Nirgunam Brahma, not as Vasudeva, as Vasudevasya Putraha Krishnaha. No, he is not referring to Vasudeva's child, Vasudeva's son Krishna, but he is referring to Nirgunam Brahma. Because if you take the Shariram, the body, it becomes Aparaprakriti. We already went through this distinctions and all earlier. So which is subject to limitation? The body, the Aparaprakriti, is subject to limitation, subject to division, subject to birth, subject to death, modifications, jayate, vartate, viparinamate, apakshyate, vinashyati, all those sixfold modifications, they are all there for the body. So these are the words which can create lot of confusion, so one should be careful. So one should be careful that it is not Krishna Shariram, as we saw earlier. Here it is the Parabrahman, which is Arupam, Ashabdam, Agandam, Arasam, Asparsham, that is that Parabrahma. So which is the Jagat Adhishtanam, that Vasudeva. It is not Vasudeva's son, that Vasudeva who is Paraprakriti. Actually, one commentator very beautifully gave the meaning of Vasudeva. Normally, Vasudeva is interpreted as what? Vasudevasya Apatyam. The son of Vasudeva is Vasudeva. The Vasanna Vasudeva is Vasudeva, that is normally the interpretation in Sanskrit. But in this context, it should be interpreted very differently. So one commentator very beautifully he writes, Vasuhu means Vasanti Sarvani Bhutani Asmin Iti Vasuhu. It is that Adhishtanam in which all beings dwell, Vasanti. They all dwell in that Sarvani Bhutani, including Krishna. Including Krishna, his chariot, the whole Gokulam, they dwell in that thing. That is Adhishtana. And what is that? It is nothing but Sadrupam Brahma. And what about Devaha, Vasudevaha, Vasudeva? So Vasu we already saw in this definition. And what is Deva? Deva is Divyati Swayam Prakashate Iti Devaha. That which is self-effulgent. That which is self-effulgent. That means Chidrupam. So one is Sadrupam, another is Chitrupam. So Vasudevaha is what? Sat Chitrupaha. Paramatma alone. So that is Vasudeva is Sat Chitrupaha. So it is not any particular Namarupa. It is not any Krishna or any Namarupa. It is Sat Chitrupa. Iti. So Iti means, thus the Jnani recognizes and attains me, the Paraprakriti. He attains Moksha. So Mam Prapadyate means, also must be understood as what? Paraprakritim Prapadyati. He attains Paraprakriti. He attains me, the Paraprakriti, by knowing the Paraprakriti alone is everything. So he attains that. So Aham Brahma Iti Jnatva Brahmaiva Bhavati. Knowing I am Brahman, he becomes Brahman itself. So what is put in the Upanishad is what? Brahma Jnanena Brahma Praptihi. By knowing Brahma within, apnoti param. The one who knows Brahman attains Brahman. That means he is Brahman himself. So that alone is set here as Krishna Jnanena Krishna Praptihi. That is what is set here. Brahma Jnanena Brahma Praptihi means here Krishna is Brahman. Brahma Jnanena Brahma Praptihi. And then Krishna says, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabaha. Such a person is a true Mahatma. It's a true saint. Very rare. Durlabha. All other Dvaita or Veda Bhaktas are Apara Bhaktas are not Mahatmas. they are not atmas at all, because they keep on telling we are small all the time. That is the Lord who is the biggest one, who is Sarvajnaha, who is Sarvashaktiman. I am Alpajnaha, Alpashaktiman. He is omnipotent. So all that, he is omniscient. That's what they make that division. And once they do that, they consider themselves as very small. They go on telling they are small. And that is the reason they have this Bheda Buddhi. And not only this, Krishna says, Sudurlabha. This is actually the third glorification by pointing out the rareness of the Jnani Bhakta. Jnani Bhakta is very rare. He says, such Advaita Bhaktas are Sudurlabha, extremely rare in the world. Dvaita Bhaktas are the maximum. Advaita Bhaktas, the Jnani Bhaktas, are extremely rare. Majority of the people do not know the value of Advaita Bhakta itself. They argue that I don't want to become a sugar. I want only to taste sugar. Nobody wants to become sugar. They want only taste sugar. I want to keep the Lord as sugar. And what I want to do? Stand separate and enjoy that Lord. That's what they want to do. That Lord is sugar, no problem. I want to enjoy him, so I'll stand separate and enjoy him. Suppose if I become one with the Lord, what then? Then I will become sugar and I cannot taste it anymore. On the other hand, everyone will be tasting me. That's what they think, because they don't know the value of Advaita Bhakti, which requires a very, very mature mind to understand the glory of Advaita itself. So Krishna says, no doubt, many people did not understand Advaita Bhakti because Sudurlabha. Very few people only know it. It is very, very rare. So with this shloka, the glory of the Jnani Bhakta is over. And before we go to the next shloka, we have to also see one more point. We have to understand. Krishna actually said in the first line, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Bhavati. That's what he said. So at the end of many Janmas, a seeker becomes a Jnani. That is what he said. Then this may create some pessimism in the minds of people. Oh God, we have to go through many, many Janmas to become a Jnani. So already I am discouraged. So already I have to take a lot of Janmas, and then only I have to try to become a Jnani. So if we get that idea that many Janmas are necessary for Jnanam, then what we will conclude? In this Janma, we are not going to be a Jnani at all. That's what one might think. You should be careful to understand that. The Lord did not say many Janma from this Janma. He doesn't tell the starting point. He did not talk about this Janma at all. We all might have started our sadhana many, many Janmas earlier. And this Janma can be the last Janma in that list for us to become a Jnani. So only if we take this Janma as the first, then we may have to go through many Janmas. Therefore, a seeker should think that I have gone through many Janmas, and this Janma in which I do Vedanta Vichara is the last Janma for me to gain this Jnana. We need not worry at all. This is the Charma Janma. Charma Janma means the last Janma in which Jnanam will come. So, Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate Saha Sudurlabha. With this, actually, the topic of glorification of Jnani is also concluded. So glorification of Jnani is what? Glorification of wisdom. And why should Krishna glorify wisdom? Essentially to inspire all of us that we all must attain Jnanam. To create that interest in us, he glorifies the Jnanam, the Jnani also. Now Krishna will talk about the limitation of the other bhaktas, all other bhakti. All the other three bhaktis, he will talk about the limitations, the artha bhakti, the artharthi bhakti. From the next shloka onwards, he is going to talk about the limitations of those bhaktis. Shloka 20. Kamaistaistair hritajnanaha prapadyante nyadevataha tam tam niyamamasthaya prakritya niyataswaya. So from the 20th to the 23rd shloka, Krishna condemns the other three bhaktas, especially the first two bhaktis are the sakama bhaktis, artha bhakti and artharthi bhakti. Here condemnation means what? Compared to other bhaktis, they are inferior, they are limited. It cannot give moksha. Because of that reason, they are considered inferior. So condemnation is what? is pointing out the limitation of those bhaktis, which it cannot give moksha. And we should remember actually the context very clearly. The Sakama Bhakti can give what? Worldly prosperity. Give a lot of worldly things. So from the view of a materialist, it is excellent. It's very good. Dhyanam, Dhanam. So Danyam, Dhanam, Pashum, Bahuputra, Labam, Sadasham, Vatsaram. All those things it will give. So in that context, we will glorify Sakama Bhakti. No problem at all. But here, Gita Grantha is Moksha Shastra. Gita, Bhagavad Gita is Moksha Shastra, and in the Bhagavad Gita context, material gain is not gained as a gain at all, because it is Moksha Shastra. So it is considered only an extra samsara if people go after material benefits. It is only a bondage. So even Swargaloka is going to be connected to bondage only, even if somebody gets Swarga. So, in the context of Moksha Shastra, Sakama Bhakti is inferior. Whereas in the context of atheist, a non-believer, Sakama Bhakti is superior. Compared to not having Bhakti, it is superior. No doubt at all. So, in the context of Moksha Shastra alone, Sakama Bhakti is inferior, which is the essence of these four shlokas we are going to see. So, Krishna says here, Tai taihi kamaihi kritajnanaha anya devataha prapadyante. Kritajnanaha, the Sakama Bhaktas, whose discrimination is taken away, who are indiscriminative, whose jnanam, the viveka shakti, the nitya nitya vastu vivekaha, all that thing has been kritaha, robbed away. Robbed away by what? Kamaihi taihi taihi, by various worldly desires. By various worldly desires, their ability to discriminate, that Viveka Shakti is taken away, is robbed away. So some people's Viveka Shakti has been robbed away by various worldly Shaktis, either Artha or Kama, and therefore they do not seek Vasudevaha Sarvamiti, as we saw in the previous sloka. They do not seek the Krishna, the infinite Brahma, they don't seek. But they worship whom? Anya Devataha Prapadyante. They only worship all other deities who represent various limited worldly goals. Here also we should know one important thing in our tradition of worship. All different deities are only symbols of various goals of our lives. Various Purusharthas only. Shiva, Ganapati, Balaji, Saraswati, Lakshmi, any deity. Lakshmi represents wealth. Saraswati represents knowledge. Brahmaji represents Srishti. If at all, all our Avahanam and all, it's how you do the Avahanam, that only matters. Some people worship Ganapati as what? As the Lord of Obstacles, to remove all obstacles. Some people worship the same Ganapati for the sake of gaining a lot of riches. Others for Buddhi, others for Siddhi, success. They all worship the same God. Depending on how they do Avahanam and worship, they worship the same Lord for various ends. Thus, any deity can represent any end that we want to achieve. Actually, in various Puranas, Shiva Purana, for example, Lord Shiva will be the symbol for Moksha, Moksha Purushartha, the highest, the infinite goal. Whereas all other deities, they will represent only lower, finite goals in life, wealth, health, etc. So they will all become inferior deities and Shiva will become the superior deity in that context. In Vishnu Purana, Vishnu will represent the infinite goal and all others will become finite. So in one Purana, Shiva will worship Vishnu. In another Purana, Vishnu will worship Shiva. So people get confused. Who is great among all these people? Then they will start fighting also among themselves. In Saundarya Lahari, Acharya says, the Devi is lying down on a cart, a beautiful cart. And Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, they are all the legs of that cart. So Amba is sleeping on a cart, for which all these Shiva, Vishnu and Brahma, they are all like the legs. Virinchiki panchatvam rajati harirapnoti viratim, that beautiful shloka. Brahma creates, Shiva absorbs, Vishnu sustains because of Devi's grace. So there Devi stuti only. So whatever your Ishta Devata is, that can represent infinitude. So if this represents infinite, then all others should be only finite. Because you cannot have several infinites. So all others have to be only finite. So this must be very, very clearly understood. Then only we will not question who is great. And in the Bhagavad Gita context, Krishna represents infinitude, moksha. So Vasudevaha Sarvam. And if Krishna represents infinite, ఇన్ఫినిట్యూడ్. వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ఇండికేట్స్ మోక్ష అన్వేషణం, పర్స్యూట్ ఆఫ్ మోక్ష మార్గ ఆర్ వేదాంత శ్రవణం మననం అండ్ నిధిధ్యాసనం. అండ్ సీకింగ్ ఆల్ అదర్ గోల్స్ విల్ బి ఇండికేటెడ్ బై వర్షిప్పింగ్ ఆల్ అదర్ దేవతాస్. అదర్ దాన్ వేదాంత శ్రవణ మనన నిధ్యాసనం, వర్షిప్పింగ్ అదర్ దేవతాస్ విల్ బి సీకింగ్ ఎయిదర్ అర్థ ఆర్ కామ. సో కృష్ణ సేస్ అన్య దేవతాః ప్రపద్యంతే ది సకామ భక్తాస్, దే వర్షిప్ ఆల్ అదర్ ఫైనైట్ డైటీస్, వెరాస్ ది నిష్కామ భక్త దే వర్షిప్ మీ ది ఇన్ఫైనైట్ డైటీ. అండ్ వెన్ వి సే నిష్కామ భక్త వర్షిప్, వర్షిప్ మీ ది ఇన్ఫైనైట్ వన్, ది వర్షిప్ విల్ బి ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ వాట్, జ్ఞాన యోగ. దే ఆల్ హ్యావ్ టు బి అండర్స్టుడ్ వెరీ వెరీ క్లియర్లీ. వెన్ దే సే వర్షిప్ ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ త్రూ సమ్ అర్చన ఆర్ సమ్ హోమ ఆర్ అభిషేక ఆర్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దోస్, ఇట్ ఈస్ త్రూ జ్ఞాన యోగ. వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్ఫైనైట్ డైటీ ఇస్ వాట్, వేదాంత విచార ఓన్లీ. It can never be in the form of offering flowers or doing abhishekam. One can worship finite deity through offering flowers. Worship of infinite deity is always through jnanam, Vedanta vichara only, inquiry. So sakama bhaktas prapadyante anya devataha. It will be certainly in the form of karma. All rituals, they will worship anya devataha, all other deities through some worship, some ritual or the other. And once they are interested in finite goal and worship finite devatas, they will have to come to the field of karma only, ritual only. Once karma comes, varieties of niyamas also come, do's and don'ts, achara, anushtana, they all come, they become very important. I should be very shuddha, very pure, I should follow all discipline, I should maintain the time, do at the proper time. So many niyamas are there. Whereas in Jnana Marga, no such niyamas there at all. Requires only one niyama. What is that? Sadhana Chaturthiya Sampatti, that is the only niyama. All other external niyamas do not bind this person who is a Jnana Yogi, who wants to pursue the path of Jnana Marga. It can be also done any time. Whereas we cannot do the Pradha Sandhya Vandanam at any time I want. There are prescribed times. It should be done only at the right time. If you don't do it at the right time, you have to do a prayaschitta karma. Prayaschitta argyam you have to give. So, tam tam niyama masthaya, following all those respective disciplines, the sakama bhaktas worship various finite deities. They have to follow all these rules of niyama and all that thing to worship finite deities. So, the deity also varies. For money, you have one deity, Mahalakshmi. For learning, you have another deity, Saraswati. So you have to offer Dakshina, you have to offer, give Naivedyam, so many things. They worship because of what? Swaya, Prakritya, Niyataha. All governed by their own nature. Swaya, Prakritya, disposition. That is Sattva Pradhana, Raja Pradhana, Tama Pradhana disposition. According to this disposition, the desires also vary. You know how Krishna very beautifully analyzes the entire thing. So a sattvic person has got sattvic desires, noble ambitions. So he wants to establish schools. He wants to build temples. He wants to make hospitals. He wants to create orphanages. That's what a sattvic people, they want to do. And what rajasic people do? They are selfish. I should become the richest person. I should possess this and that. I should get fame. I should get name. All that rajasic people. For that also there is a worship. If they want to gain only that. And then the tamasic people, they have tamasic desires. They want to finish other people. They don't want to even stand the sight of some people. Whoever is my competitor, they want to eliminate him from the scene. All kinds of abhicharika mantras, black magic. They want to do all that also. And pujas are also there accordingly for them. Actually, we are going to see details of all this in the 16th, 17th chapters. Trivida Yajna Smritaha. So we are going to see at that time, not only that, the deities also will accordingly be worshipped depending on your disposition. For sattvic desires, the deities or symbolism, they will be sattvic. And rajasic desires will have rajasic deities. And tamasic desires will have yaksha, pishacha, paishacha, all those kind of deities. So that also we are going to see in the 17th chapter again. So according to my disposition, the desires will vary, the type of puja and the type of deity, they all will vary. So each one conditioned by one's nature, worship various deities, observing various rules for fulfilling various desires for themselves. And that is what is said here. Kamais taistair hrtajnanaha prapadyante anya devataha tamtam nimamastaya prakritya niyata swaya. Okay, then what will happen to those worship? Will they become successful or not? Okay, that is where this disposition, and that is the worship they are doing. Will that worship succeed? Krishna wants to say, any puja will become successful because they are prescribed in the shastras. So these are all pujas prescribed in the karmakanda portion, in the shastras. They will all only be successful if all the procedures are followed properly. They will lead to success. Shastras cannot go wrong. Incidentally, a question may come now. Why should shastras prescribe tamasic type of puja, abhicharika pujas and all that thing? Why should, for those people, you know, why should there be black magic type of puja to harm others? Yeah, they are also prescribed the shastras. Because of the very simple reason that this tamasic type of people are also there. In the world, such people are also there. And so the shastras should prescribe such pujas for them also. Shastras will prescribe procedures for everyone according to their level. Then the advantage is what? Even tamasic type of people also will develop shraddha in the shastras. Because those pujas are also given in shastras, they will develop shraddha in shastras, and he will have to come to shastras at least for revenging his enemy. He will come first, otherwise he will not come to shastras at all. So he will at least first come to the shastra. But in course of time, the shastra itself will say to him, if you do all this and harm others, later you yourself will have to face the side effects. You will be tortured and you will suffer. The shastras will tell him. And he will read further, and his tamasic desires will become rajasic desire. Then further he will read and go from rajasic to sattvic desire. And then he will become desireless also at some point in time if he progresses. So shastra is prescribing all these only to attract even those kinds of people to shastra. Once they have got the faith in shastras, shastras know how to gradually convert such people from whatever they are to higher levels of bhakti. So he will start with black magic perhaps, some people might do it, but later he will certainly come to noble things because still his faith in shastra is there. He is not like an atheist, he still has faith. This is an incidental point that we should just know, because people generally ask why shastras prescribe even such type of karmas. So all these pujas are there and they will give the desired results also if they are performed properly. So that is going to be said actually in the next shloka, which we will see next week. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasamaheshwarah Shri Krishna arpanamastu.